Okay, let's switch the telephone here now. We've got Christian Takushi on the line from Zurich. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Ron.
So, we haven't talked for a long time. A lot to catch up on here. But I suppose, first of all, it's the implications of what's going on in the States, this election, and how this might affect everything.
Yes. Well, happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Let's talk about the elections. How do you think it's going to turn out, and what effect is that going to have on what you do as a macroeconomist and the world geopolitical situation, the area of finance and so on?
Well, as I've been writing to our leaders in recent months, it's very important to put this electoral process in perspective. And I think that regardless of who wins here, there are certain issues. They're not going away. With one candidate, probably those things could accelerate, but the bigger issues around the world are not going to go away. And the huge indebtedness by countries, some countries are over indebted, the issue that they're printing money. These are big issues, or the way the markets have, stopped doing their, oversight on government, or the way the press is also overstepping its role. It's become a meddler into politics, you could say, influencing public opinion. We have issues that are not going away. Regarding these elections itself, I personally have been expecting during the summer, fall, that the Democrats would win simply because of the economic devastation and COVID-19. But during the last 4 weeks before the election, I was convinced that President Trump had the momentum that he could win, he could carry the victory. So my latest assessment has been that President Trump would actually turn a certain defeat into into potentially a victory. Definitely, one thing I was sure of that he will actually avert a blue wave or a blue landslide. And the most important thing that we can say at the moment in terms of results is that this much expected blue wave or blue landslide of Democrats taking the White House, the Senate, increasing the majority in the House and taking more governor seats, that much expected blue wave has not taken place. And this is the one thing people really have to understand, because everything we've been hearing in global politics the last 8 months or 7 months has been based on that. The experts, the media, the polls, they've been feeding each other. They've been saying that this is going to happen. And so that way, that blue wave hasn't taken place. If anything, the Republicans are holding on to the Senate. The Republicans are increasing the positions in the House of Representatives and are even gaining one or two governorships, so governor seats. So that's already very, very important. Now, the most important part of the elections 2020 is the Senate. It's not every year the same, but this time around, the way the global politics, the U.S. political process is set out, the Senate is the most important thing. And the Senate is interesting. The Senate is the first thing that has had a clear path for a party, for either party, and it is in this case for the Republicans. It is pretty obvious that the Republicans are going to hold the Senate majority. So that's very important because with a conservative majority in the Senate and with a conservative leaning Supreme Court, there is just so much a potential President Biden can do. We have to be very clear about that. So that diminishes actually the potential impact of a Biden presidency. Okay, that's, I would say this should be the first, I don't want to go too far into detail. I think that's the answer to the first question.
Yes, the checks and balance system of the American political system is really quite unique in that, the president over there doesn't have the privilege of doing what, for example, the French president does. Once you're in, you have tremendous powers, and there you are still checked by Senate, by the Congress, and the Supreme Court has the ultimate say in everything. So absolutely right. Even if Biden does become elected, he can't just change everything that's been done overnight, except by presidential decree.
Absolutely, absolutely. And not only that, I think very, very few people, very few journalists and observers, experts in Europe appreciate that. I often hear, their experienced commentators here in Europe saying America is about to implode, the system is collapsing, look at the political system is collapsing, people are, you know, in gridlock. America is in decline because of the gridlock. And they don't understand that the founding fathers of the United States designed the country to be in gridlock, designed Washington to be in gridlock, Washington. And they actually foresaw, and this is the amazing thing. I mean, when I talk over when we look at the founding fathers, it's always amazing to see how much foresight those people had. They foresaw that in the future this nation would become powerful, and that the capital, the federal government, would try to become more powerful and get more power, and start wielding, using that power, projecting that power, even within the country, at the expense of the citizens' freedoms. And the Constitution of the United States doesn't protect the government from the citizens. It protects the citizens from the central government. And that is why Americans have the right to bear arms, just in case the government may ever want to, you know, wield too much power. So people have to put things into perspective. But it also was designed, so as you rightly mentioned, that one center of power, you know, will be checked by the others. No center of power in the U.S. wields all the power. So they're constantly checking each other, limiting each other, you could say harassing each other, right? So that which we see as a terrible American gridlock and scandals and one center of power being checked by the other is American politics at its best, or just as the founding fathers designed it to be. And America works very well like that. Why? Because when Washington is in gridlock and in scandal or in fighting each other, people can do their own lives. The states actually can have their independence. The more gridlock in Washington, the more independence by the states, and the more you can basically live your life. Americans are always concerned about too powerful Washington. This is, of course, not what Europeans would like to have, but this is just political reality. So, yeah.
We're talking with the macroeconomist Christian Takushi from Zurich today. And just in a couple of minutes we've got left, the results of coronavirus on economy worldwide. What's going to happen? I mean, with all the printing of money, and I mean, the governments are going, you know, trillions into debt. What's this going to come to?
I can only use one term for this. I mean, given the short time that we've got left, economic devastation. Economic devastation and the increase of the government clout or government power into basically everything. Our governments are, I don't diminish and I don't belittle the COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic. I think I was one of the first, I was among the first, the economists that sounded the alarm already in January and February and asking people to take it seriously. But since June, July, I am convinced that governments are overdoing their response. You have to move early and strongly and harshly. You have to adapt your response every 1 or 2 months. We're talking about the global economy here. And what I think most governments, not all, but most governments are doing is their cure is going to be worse than the problem and than the disease. I see that they are creating an economic devastation. This is economic devastation with a huge economic toll, but especially the human toll, psychology, marriages, strain, financial dreams shattered, people worrying a lot about the future, And this is not just happening all of a sudden. The world was already in crisis, an economic crisis for many years. We're already in a financial crisis since the year 2007. The world didn't get out of it, really. The only thing we had is governments printing money and buying equities, buying bonds, real estate. So that's why financial crisis was kind of, you know, as the French would say, cachet, or just, you know, painted over a little bit. We have actually a situation of economic devastation that I think is coming. And maybe not in the, it's not just about recession or not recession. You can have a very bad economic crisis and not really see it because the government is painting it over. And we are going to have more economic debt, government debt. And as you know, because you invited me to your program a few times in the past, many governments out there, many Western governments are already over-indebted. They are over-indebted. The only thing that is saving them is they're printing gigantic amount of paper money, making their currencies basically worthless in a way. And the reason why people are not talking about it is because financial markets have actually rescinded their duty of oversight.
Christian, I wish we had more time, but we've run more than out of time today. We'll have to pick this up another time. Thank you so much. Christian Takushi from Zurich, macroeconomist. And we can go on your website, geopoliticalresearch.com, to learn more, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Geopoliticalresearch.com. Thanks for coming in with us this morning.
Thank you.
This is Lifestyle 74 News.